Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Where if you are streaming on YouTube, you will see that I am in the Fox Across America studio where I'm filling in for Jimmy Fallon. And Jimmy Kimmel is supposed to come back on the air tonight, even though Sinclair and the other major broadcaster have decided that they are not going to carry his show tonight. But ABC Disney China will be carrying his show. I still don't know why the FCC chairman keeps needing to feel the need to comment on this. He doesn't need to, but clearly he loves making himself the center of attention. And yeah, so, but I will just tell you this. The issue of Jimmy Kimmel will be decided by the marketplace, not by the FCC. It will be decided by the marketplace because his buddy Adam Carolla was talking about him earlier and saying he's not a bad guy. But the problem is that Adam Carolla is a little tone deaf to the fact that Jimmy Kimmel started going after all of us, the audience, and he lost the audience because anyone who voted for Trump was not welcome anymore. Same thing with Howard Stern. There's a pattern here. If you say to people you're not welcome because I don't like your politics, then you can't bring people back after that. You've kicked them out. You've kicked them out effectively. I don't want you. I don't want you to listen to the show. I don't want you to watch, whatever it is. When I say that, I'm joking. You know, I say to somebody like, well, don't listen anymore. You know, it's clearly a joke. Sarcasm. And people tell me all the time, well, I'm never listening again. I'm like, all right, well then don't. I don't know what to tell you. I just want you to be happy and find your happiness. And if your happiness is watching Jimmy Kimmel, if that makes you happy, then so be it. But you're probably gonna have to do it on another platform because that show is 200 people that work on it. He's paid a lot of money, $15 million a year. And overall, the show is just not making the kind of money that it used to. But at this point now, Disney needs to make a show about this to satisfy the left who are going on shows, even at CNN saying it was like the Avengers assembled to save Jimmy Kimmel. Like, give me a break. But on this breaking news of Ryan Routh here, and this is the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria. Why go to the closest dentist? Why go to a pop-up dental chain where you can go to the best of the best 12 years in a row? Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Ryan Routh, who was the guy who tried to assassinate President Trump at his golf club in Florida, guilty on all five charges, then tried to stab himself, and federal marshals had to detain him so that he couldn't hurt himself in court. And all this just broke a few moments ago before I got on the air today, so we're kind of absorbing it. It will now go to a jury to decide his fate. This guy's obviously nuts, and I don't think anybody would want to live next door to him. That's always kind of the standard that I would use. Like, would you want this guy living in your neighborhood? Not so much. Well, yeah, then I would imagine then the jury would say he needs to be locked up for a very, very, very long time. And while they're at it, probably get the guy some serious psychiatric treatment as well. But they deliver the guilty verdict. All charges of the attempted assassination of President Trump, who at the time was a candidate, but also a former president, at his golf club in West Palm Beach in September of last year. This came right off after Butler, too. This was right on the heels of Butler. After the verdict was read, Ryan Routh reportedly appeared to stab himself in the neck with a pen before four U.S. marshals restrained him. His daughter, Sarah, reportedly stood up and said, quote, "Don't do anything. I will get you out. What the F? He didn't hurt anybody. That this is not fair. This is all rigged. You guys are a-holes." And the jury was still in the room at the time that she got up and said all those things. He's 59 years old. He was charged with federal criminal counts, five of them, including attempting to assassinate a major presidential candidate, assaulting a federal officer, and multiple firearms offenses. The charges carry a maximum sentence of life in prison. Jurors deliberated for several hours before returning to the court with a verdict. It was a three-week trial. Prosecutors used the bulk of their closing arguments Tuesday to emphasize both the digital and forensic evidence presented at trial and what they described as Ruth's clear intent to kill President Trump. They noted the 17 reconnaissance trips he allegedly made to the golf course and what they described as his excessive stalking of President Trump prior to the September 15th incident in question. I have to tell you, the prosecution did an excellent job in this case. They really did. They stuck to the facts. They assembled the evidence. They took their time in creating this case, and it was a job well done all around. The part that was critical for the prosecution to convict him on the first and most serious criminal count, attempted assassination of a major presidential candidate, in order to secure a conviction of that charge, prosecutors had approved to jurors two things. First, that the defendant had the intent to carry out the crime. And second, that the defendant had taken substantial steps to do so. During closing arguments, federal prosecutors stressed that it should not be difficult for jurors to conclude that they'd met that bar. Assistant U.S. Attorney Christopher Brown told the jury, quote, "This was not a publicity stunt. The evidence has shown one thing and one thing only. The defendant wanted Donald Trump dead. There is no doubt, no reasonable doubt, no doubt whatsoever that it was this man. He was hiding in the sniper's nest for what they said was roughly 10 hours, beginning around 4 a.m. on the day of the attempted assassination." Prosecutors spent nearly two full weeks meticulously presenting their case. They walked jurors through hundreds of pieces of evidence, including call logs, text messages, forensic evidence, and surveillance footage that they used to carefully track the actions of now guilty Ryan Ruth. They also used bank records to tie him to the purchase of an SKS semi-automatic caliber rifle that was recovered near the golf course. Expert witnesses for the prosecution testified that the weapon was in working condition. Forensic experts said the fingerprint on the scope matched Ryan Ruth. They also linked his DNA to matches on the rifle itself, as well as gloves, a bag, and other items. And this was no OJ trial. You know, if the gloves don't fit, you must acquit. This was not a joke of a trial. This was a very, very serious and meticulously detailed effort by the prosecution to prove the case. And they did a great job. Prosecutors reminded jurors today that there were 19 rounds found in the magazine of the rifle that was recovered at the scene, including one in the chamber. This was not a publicity stunt. The evidence has shown one thing and one thing only. The defendant wanted Donald Trump dead. Now, if they do, they typically after this will speak to the press. If they do, we'll certainly take it live for you. I don't know if they will or not, but my sense is they probably will make a statement of some kind to the media and we'll bring it to you live. There were 38 witnesses who testified for the prosecution. So again, I mean, this guy had a terrible defense and he's an idiot for using himself as an attorney. But I don't want to downplay the excellent job the prosecution did here. It's not as if they got the five convictions because he did a bad defense. His defense didn't help, but it was an excellent job by the prosecution. A box delivered months earlier to Samuel and Larazo Plata, who were brothers from North Carolina, contained pipes, bullets, wires, and a 12-page manifesto, titled "Dear World." In it, Ruth allegedly offered $150,000 to anyone willing to complete the job. After a series of court rulings, prosecutors were permitted to introduce only the first three lines of the letter. FBI digital evidence showed web searches, flight tracking activity, texts about Trump's rallies and plane movements, license plate reader records of his vehicle, a black Nissan Xterra, and other surveillance tying him to Palm Beach County around the same time of the assassination attempt. Law enforcement testimony describes sniper tradecraft involved near the sixth hole of the golf course. He had steel plates for ballistic protection, concealment fences used for supportive weaponry, and long-distance shooting lanes on the sixth and seventh holes. He represented himself in the case. He did not introduce any evidence that was deemed to be admissible in court. He rested his own defense after just several hours on Monday after questioning only three witnesses, two of whom were friends and colleagues who acknowledged during cross-examination that they had not seen or spoken to him in years. So, of course, then the question becomes, why do you call somebody up like that? I think the reason is because he's nuts and he was trying to, I think probably hoping that maybe the jury would find him not guilty on reasons of insanity or something like that. But this was Florida and not a joke of a jury trial in D.C. This is Florida in a much different circumstance with a legit prosecution. Today's guilty verdict. This is the Attorney General Pam Bondi. Today's guilty verdict against would-be Trump assassin Ryan Ruth illustrates the Department of Justice's commitment to punishing those who engage in political violence. This attempted assassination was not only an attack on our president, but an affront to our very nation itself. I am grateful to the United States Attorney, Southern District of Florida, Jason Quinones, for his entire trial team, and our law enforcement partners for protecting President Trump and securing this important verdict. So that just came out from the Attorney General right there. As well. So we'll see what the jury comes back with, but I don't think anybody should be surprised by the verdict because of the fact that they had this guy dead to rights. And again, this was an example of how this was able to happen in the first place, and he was able to be in the sniper's nest for 12 hours is insane, and that is a whole show for another day. Something we've talked about with our friend Susan Crabtree in the past. How that's able to happen, I don't know, but it was another close call. He had a bullet in the chamber. He clearly wanted to kill President Trump, and that's what the jury found, and that's what the jury decided here, that this was a man who was engaging in political violence of a major presidential candidate and former president of the United States of America. And let's not forget, as I mentioned, this obviously came off the heels of Butler, so we were all shocked when this happened again, because we had to wonder how it is that so close to Butler, a guy like this could be anywhere near the perimeter, able to stick a rifle through the bushes at the president's golf course. How did he know he was going to be there that day? I think, conspiracy theories will always abound. They say it's because he just got lucky. He just figured if he waited there long enough, that Trump would show up to golf. Well, maybe not. I don't know. Again, a show for another day, but they were not able to at least ascertain. And if they did, they are not sharing it with us. Any ideas that he had any inside help or anything, but that is something that amazes me. He was able to be there that long, and then the president goes and golfs, and he golfs a lot. So on the one hand, you could say, well, it was inevitable that he would cross paths with him. On the other hand, you have to question how a guy like this was able to be there for so long, so many hours, and how nobody spotted him. I mean, just amazing how that happened. And then they only spotted him. It was a Secret Service agent who was on the hole ahead of the president is how they spotted this guy. So keep that in mind as all this plays out. But there you go. Would-be Trump assassin guilty in all five charges. That news coming out just right before we got on the air today. There are not many tickets left for Jack Carr. A lot of the good seats are gone, so don't miss out. Your chance to join us for our Politics and Pints, which is coming up on October 13th. It's a Monday night, 7 p.m., Bucks County Community College. This is Locke Performing Arts Center. I want to see you there. It's going to be a great time. Jack's new book, Cry Havoc, is amazing. It really is outstanding. You're going to love it, and we'll talk about all these issues, including the state of our politics in America right now. We always get on conversations, and he loves taking questions. So you can come with your questions for Jack. You can ask about his books, the characters, what it's like helping to create the number one show on Amazon Prime, for example, what it's like working with Taylor Kitsch, who was just on Rogan's podcast, what it's like working with Chris Pratt, who, of course, huge star, one of the Avengers who did not assemble to try to get Kamala Harris elected or to try to get Jimmy Kimmel back on the air. So, and on that note, if the Avengers, the actors who play them, were that good and that persuasive, they would have been able to convince people to vote for Kamala Harris in the first place, and they weren't, and they didn't, and so there you go. The president today at the United Nations General Assembly in New York, where apparently Emmanuel Macron had to walk because he couldn't get through. So the president of France had a walk. You know how I found that out? Lydia Moynihan from the New York Post. That's how I found that out. And it was pretty amazing to find that out, by the way. No doubt about that. So we'll talk about all these issues as the show unfolds today. And Kamala Harris is not doing herself any favors. Digging and digging and digging. There's a great saying in life, which is when you're in a hole, stop digging. She keeps digging and digging and digging, even though the hole gets deeper for her. And she's not winning over any fans on the Democrat side of the aisle. No doubt about that. Her exchange with Rachel Maddow about why she didn't pick Pete Buttigieg is really, again, her trying to blame her loss on factors outside of her terrible, terrible campaign that she ran. And the exchange on MSNBC is just bad. It's bad. She's got to stop talking. Stop talking and get back to drinking. Do what you're good at in life. You know what I mean? And she's good at drinking and popping pills, and then she should probably stick to that and stop with the book tour. The book tour is not winning her any friends. In fact, if anything, she's lost whatever support was left because she's going after everybody. I mean, even Josh Shapiro is basically coming out now and saying she's got to stop talking. There's no friends left on the political aisle for Kamala Harris. It's quite embarrassing to watch, no doubt about that. So we'll get into all that with you as the show goes on today. Great guest coming up. We'll talk to Dr. Victoria Coates about the president's speech before the United Nations. What was accomplished? What challenges and obstacles remain? All that straight ahead. It's Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Kamala Harris doing herself no favors on her 107-day book tour. It's bad. It's bad. I'll tell you, having done media training with political candidates in my life, the observation that I have with her is the same observation I have with Mikey Sherrill, and that is that they are both overly prepped, vapid, empty vessels. And Kamala Harris is angry. She's very angry. I mean, you could tell. It comes across. It really does. She's angry. I don't know what she's angry about. I mean, if anything, the Democrat Party should be angry that they didn't get a chance to actually vote for a candidate. They rejected her in 2020. She was not their nominee, but then she became the nominee. So I don't know what she's angry about. If anything, they should be angry. She was a terrible, terrible candidate. And this exchange with Maddow, Rachel Maddow, who works one day a week on MSNBC, so, I mean, that's less than I do. She still gets paid a lot more money than me. I mean, a lot more money than me. A lot more, but, yeah. Anyway, Kamala Harris and this exchange about why she couldn't pick Pete Buttigieg. Now, let's understand what this is really about here. Okay, what this is really about is Kamala Harris saying, I lost because I'm a woman and a black woman and an Asian woman. And I couldn't pick the gay guy because I would have lost even more. Because, again, translation is you are a sexist, you're a racist, you are a racist, sexist, homophobe, bigot, and America's not there yet, and that's why I lost. And I couldn't go with the gay guy because I would have lost even more, basically, because it was hard enough being a black Asian woman it's not that you rejected her ideas. It's not that her policies were bad. It's not that her positions were terrible. It's not that she was a terrible candidate, an empty vessel. It's that America is a racist, sexist, misogynistic, homophobic place. I mean, that's what she's saying here. That's the bottom line. That's what she's saying. And it goes back to the deplorables. We're just bad. We're bad people. We don't vote based on ideas. We vote based on people's skin color, gender, which of course we're also told doesn't exist, and their sexual orientation. But we don't vote on things like you said you wanted to ban fracking, cheeseburgers. You never went to the border. Like, those issues don't matter to us. The fact that there was this massive border crisis and you were the border czar and you did nothing about it. I mean, it's not that. We're just all a bunch of racist, sexist, homophobes. I mean, basically, that's what she's saying here. And this is the typical, she won't acknowledge that she was a bad candidate, that her ideas were bad, that her ideas were rejected. Nope, it's not that. That's what this exchange is really about here. So here's cut number 11 from her appearance on MSNBC. Take a listen.
I guess I'd ask you to just elaborate on that a little bit. It's hard to hear.
Yeah.
With you running as, you know, you're the first woman elected vice president. You're a black woman and a South Asian woman elected to that high office, very nearly elected president. To say that he couldn't be on the ticket effectively because he was gay is hard to hear.
No. That's not what I said, that he couldn't be on the ticket because he is gay. My point, as I write in the book, is that I was clear that in 107 days, in one of the most hotly contested elections for president of the United States, against someone like Donald Trump, who knows no floor, to be a black woman running for president of the United States, and as a vice presidential running mate, a gay man, with the stakes being so high, it made me very sad, but I also realized it would be a real risk. No matter how, you know, I've been an advocate and an ally of the LGBT community my entire life. No, it wasn't about any prejudice on my part, but
that
we had such a short period of time, and the stakes were so high. I think Pete is a phenomenal, phenomenal public servant. And I think America is and would be ready for that. But when I had to make that decision with 2 weeks to go, you know, and maybe I was being too cautious. You know, I'll let our friends, we should all talk about that. Maybe I was. But that's the decision I made, and I, as with everything else in the book, I'm being very candid about that.
Yeah.
With a great deal of sadness about also the fact that it might have been a risk.
So she goes with the straight guy, the Midwestern doofus Tim Walz, and loses anyway. I mean, what the hell does Pete Buttigieg have to be, being gay, have to do with anything other than, once again, this is Maddow and Kamala Harris trying to drive the narrative that America's just, we're still not ready. We're just this racist, sexist, homophobic place. You had a big, goofy, straight, as far as we know, because I don't really, I mean, people say who they are. I don't, how do you know? It's like a test. Straight white guy out on the campaign trail. And you lost. So then it means, well, it must be then because I'm a black woman of Southeast Asian descent. Not anything about my ideas being terrible and nobody liking them and me just being an absolute terrible candidate. Nope, it wasn't that. It was absolutely the fact that I'm all those other things. And this whole interview with Kamala Harris is really a setup, if you think about it. It's a setup to give her the excuse to turn around and say that's why she lost. This whole grievance tour is a combination of her being angry at the Democrat Party for I don't know what. She raised more money than any other candidate. She spent more money than any other candidate. She's so viciously angry at everybody. She's angry at the Biden White House. She's angry at the American people. She's angry at herself. Pretend. Not really. I don't think she has a self-reflection to be angry at herself. Because here's the thing. If anything, would you have, you know, if anything, I didn't appreciate how people wanted to know there was a difference between me and President Biden. I thought it was obvious. Again, it really wasn't me. It really wasn't. It's not my fault that people didn't see that. I think they should have seen the difference. It's not my fault. So this is from her terrible, terrible tour here. This is from The View. Cut number 9.
I didn't fully appreciate how much people wanted to know there was a difference between me and President Biden. I thought it was obvious. And I didn't want to offer a difference in a way that would be received or suggested to be a criticism. And you know, in the campaign, full time, I was pointing out the difference.
You were? Really? Because don't you remember that time she was on The View and got asked a question, which there, this will go down in history as being one of the worst answers in political history. And you talk about a swing and a miss, which is a baseball analogy I learned. You talk about a swing and a miss here. You go on a safe show, a friendly show, The View, on ABC, owned by Disney China, and you get asked a question. This is you could have had an answer scripted, ready in advance, for people looking for the difference and the contrast between you and Joe Biden at a time when he was at historic lows. And instead you said this. This is cut number 10 from October of 2024. Take a listen.
Well, if anything, would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
Nothing comes to mind. I got nothing. Okay. You can't? Nothing? Not one thing? Can't say anything? You're on a safe show. It's a safe space, safe people, and you can't think of a single thing you do different than Joe Biden. It was the worst campaign I've ever seen in my life. The worst campaign ever. It was a campaign of arrogance and celebrity and out of touch with the people. It was the absolute worst. It was the worst. Now, she was commenting on Jimmy Kimmel, and I'm going to play this because I have some thoughts on this whole idea about the power of the people reacting. All right. So here's Kamala Harris reacting to ABC bringing back Jimmy Kimmel's show, which is going to be on tonight. And then I'm going to make a comment about that. Cut 15.
Talk about the power being with the people and the people making that clear with their checkbooks as it relates to the suspension of Jimmy Kimmel. We saw the power of the people over the last few days, and it spoke volumes, and it moved a decision in the right direction.
Now, what about the people that are speaking to Sinclair and the other broadcasting company and saying, we don't want to see his show, or the people that weren't watching? Isn't that also the power of the people? Look, I've been saying I don't want the FTC or the FCC involved in this in any way, and I don't want the FCC chairman commenting, and I don't want anybody from the government commenting on this stuff. I really don't. But isn't it the power of the people, the reason why Jimmy Kimmel is not long for this world in terms of having a show on ABC? Because whether it's the affiliates, and I know that there are people that think, well, they're going to succumb to the pressure because of this merger and everything else. I don't think that's the case. I think the affiliates are genuinely reflecting the fact that his values don't match what the people in their markets are looking for, because these affiliates want to make money and they want to sell commercials and they want to do well. They bought these stations for a reason, and that reason is to make money. And people have spoken out and they said, we're not going to watch the guy. So what she's reacting to are all the people that said they were canceling their Disney Plus subscriptions. Now, his ratings might have a spike tonight, and then they're probably going to come back down. The show has 200 people working on it. He's paid $15 million a year. The question for you really is, do you think he's going to last in this spot. And there's no way the market can sustain him lasting, especially if the affiliates have decided they don't want him on their airwaves. You know, this is a different show. I'm right now, for the time being, as I'm broadcasting on WPHT, talking to on one station, a local station. But I'm, as I fill in for Jimmy Fallon on his Fox Across America, where he's got, I think, 200 plus affiliates. It's a different circumstance. But if those affiliates drop the show and PHG is one of them, then there's no show. Because a show that's based on national syndication is different than a show that's based on local. Obviously, you know, you tune into the local CBS, ABC, NBC News in Philly, and they're talking about local stuff, the mix of national, local, but it's your audience is different. You're driving a different audience. But a show that pays a guy $15 million a year, if it can't reach the major markets in this country because those affiliates are not carrying it, that's a show that can't survive. But the show couldn't survive before this, so it's not going to help. The only difference right now is that Disney has streaming platforms, which you could add Jimmy Kimmel to that lineup. Is he really going to be a draw? Like, is Howard Stern really still the draw he was to Sirius that he was 25 years ago? Of course not. The answer to that is no. Are there people out there that are going to subscribe to Disney Plus just to catch Jimmy Kimmel? I doubt it. I don't think he has that kind of an influence. I really don't. I don't think he's popular enough to drive, but it may be another feature of their Hulu, which is their ABC Plus or Disney Plus. It might be another thing they offer as they charge and gouge people, whatever it is. I don't know, $25 a month or whatever the top tier. I don't really care, but whatever the top tier packages are. And now they're trying to combine it where it's ABC, ESPN, Hulu. They're trying to make a deal for NFL and more NFL games. And they're, so yeah, they'll probably at some point move him off of ABC, put him in with a package, and make him part of that. They'll show his face. I don't think he's going to drive anybody. I don't think people are going to be like, oh, I got to shell out money so I can catch Jimmy Kimmel. But it might be like, oh, they offered Jimmy Kimmel as part of this package. Great. I don't know. I wouldn't be one of those consumers. That's not my my cup of tea, as they say. I just don't find the guy funny. I think he was funny back on The Man Show a long time ago, but he's not funny now. And that's the difference, and that's why he's changed, because he also turned against the audience. He doesn't like you. He doesn't like me. It's very obvious he doesn't. It's very obvious in the way his approach. And when you are in a position where you're mocking people and mocking their beliefs and mocking their values and you using terms like MAGA, it's an insult to the people. And why would then they tune in to watch you? Why would I pay to watch you? If you're insulting me, why? It's one thing to make jokes about Trump. Like, Trump, there's plenty of comic fodder for any president of the United States of America. That's obvious. It's one thing to make jokes about him, but when you come after MAGA, what you're doing is you're coming after the people. And this is where Adam Carolla doesn't see that about his friend Jimmy Kimmel. He's blind to that fact. And looks, I mean, sometimes we're blind to our friends and to our loved ones, and we don't see the flaws, and that's okay. I get that, but his whole point about how MAGA was doing everything to try to pretend like this guy wasn't one of their own, the insult really there is that you, me, everybody else, we're all terrible people. It's no different than Kamala Harris asserting that America is racist, sexist, and homophobic, and that's why she couldn't pick Pete Buttigieg. It's still the deplorables. I remember where I was when Hillary Clinton said deplorables for the first time. And you remember when Biden called you garbage, said we're all garbage, which was done completely to undermine Kamala Harris. It's the insult of the audience. Howard Stern saying to his audience, if you voted for Trump, I don't want you to listen anymore. And he was sincere about that. Like, that wasn't a joke. That wasn't the sarcasm that I employ. That he was dead serious about that. He said, I don't hate Trump. I hate you. I hate you. And he meant it, forgetting the fact that so many Trump voters were part of his show for a very, very long time. They were his core audience for a very long time. And he didn't care. You know, I mean, I think these guys reach a point where they think they're just they. And maybe it's because they've got FU money, and maybe they think they're so popular they can go anywhere and do anything. And but we live in an age right now where you can stream, you can start a show, you can start a podcast, a video cast, whatever you want to call it. cream rises to the top. If you're good, the audience will find you. If you're not, they won't. You'll be doing something else. And that's okay, too. But nobody has to rely anymore on being on a network. There are certain people that will tune in at a certain time because it's their habit. It's what they're used to. And they'll listen to anything that's in that time slot. But that's changing more and more. You know, with the advent of streaming and having your car and the phone all the time, you don't have to listen to me just because I happen to be on your drive home. If you don't like the show, you'll listen to something else. You'll plug your phone in. And you'll listen to whatever you want to listen to. If it's not on the radio, it'll be on your phone. I'm aware of that. I'm aware. But that's also, it's the best opportunity ever for somebody to create content. You don't have to be tied to ABC. I don't have to be tied to PHT. I mean, I like it here. I don't get me wrong. But there's also now this entire world that exists outside of the confines of an antenna. Obviously. But there's a huge world out there for content creators like it's never existed before. That's never existed before. Joe Rogan, 25 million people listen to his podcast. He's not attached to any traditional, conventional, over-the-air. You can watch him. You can listen to him. You can do whatever you want. And some people do. Some people don't. I mean, that's the reality of this. But Adam Carolla was able to go from the very large radio station in Los Angeles that he was on and start a podcast at a time when nobody knew what a podcast was. And now is one of the biggest audiences in America and a huge, highly successful podcast, multiple podcasts. Can Jimmy Kimmel do the same? Does he have the same loyalty? I don't know. I think my analysis of this is that they are doing everything right now to try to turn him into a free speech martyr, to try to get that allegiance there because it doesn't really exist otherwise, is my perception of things. Because think about it. If somebody's canceled, it helps in a lot of ways. It helps. Best analogy I can give you is Shane Gillis. Best thing that ever happened to Shane Gillis' career was getting fired from Saturday Night Live for old jokes and old tweets that he had made, because it was the height of the cancel culture era where people would go back and research anything you said and then bring it to light, even if you said it years ago, even if it was taken out of context, whatever it is. And then they would, you know what I'm saying? Best thing that ever happened to him, because he was able to parlay that into the F you cancel culture. And but here's the thing. He's incredibly talented. He's very funny. His impressions are great. His kind of like every guy approach to comedy is hysterical. And he can fill arenas with people. Arenas. Can Jimmy Kimmel do the same? That's the question. That's the test. That's it. It's that. Getting canceled was the best thing for Shane Gillis because he was able to parlay. A lot of people had no idea who the guy was, but he had a huge following, which is why Saturday Night Live wanted him. When they canceled him, it became the best thing ever. He's gone on now. You see him, you turn on the TV, you're going to see a commercial with him. He's got a deal with Notre Dame right now, and they do a whole thing with him with all these great videos, and it's really funny to watch with Under Armour as a sponsor. But Bud Light figured, we got to try to save our brand. Let's bring Shane Gillis in as our guy. But you have to have talent. You got to be good. You got to be funny, and you got or whatever it is in your industry, you have to be good at what you do. Put in the you will be able to make it, because we've never lived in a time ever before like this where you don't need to be attached to a traditional show, network, station, whatever. I mean, there was a time where if you were a comedian and you got canceled from SNL, well, good luck. You know, enjoy the clubs on Long Island and, you know, and Cherry Hill. But, you know, maybe there'll be a talent scout there from NBC who will see you, or CBS might catch you. Man, those days are over. Those days are long gone. I mean, I'm sure there are comedians who hope that there's a talent scout sitting in the room. But Even athletes nowadays, they hope that maybe a scout for a big school shows up, but they also take their highlight reels and put them on TikTok, And now the universities are constantly scouring for that stuff, where they've got departments now set up just to see high school athletes putting out their stuff on social media. So you don't have to wait for a scout to come find you. You find the scout and put your content out there. It's an amazing time. You don't have to wait for the talent scout to come find you in NBC. You create your own show. You're really good at it. People watch it. People pay to watch it or give you money to watch it or support your sponsors, your advertisers, and you're not tied to anybody but yourself, unless you enter into some deal with some streaming platform who wants to pay you a boatload of money. Never been a better time right now for being a content creator. It really is a remarkable time. But it works both ways. If the power of the people are going to say you're canceled, the power of the people can also say you're hired. It works both ways. That's the beautiful thing about freedom in America. That's why I got to keep the government the hell out of it. All right, Bob's Little Sports Shop loves freedom, and they love the power of the people. That's why they want to empower you to be able to defend yourself and your family. And they have their co-ed shooting event coming up Saturday, the 27th. That's right. This weekend is their co-ed guys and gals shooting event, where you're going to have personalized instructors, men and women trained instructors, NRA certified, range safety. It's all about safety and learning how to properly use a firearm. And Bob's Little Sports Shop is the best. They can host your bachelor party, bachelorette party, private event, corporate event, up to 30 people. No drugs or alcohol permitted on premises, but you'll have a great time shooting range fun with your own personalized instructor. They have classes, they have a range, and the most incredible selection of firearms you can possibly find anywhere, with great people. And they're in South Jersey, and they've been there for 60 years, and family-owned company, family-owned store, I should say, BobsLittleSportsShop.com. That's where you want to go. And check out all their stuff and sign up for their co-ed guys and gals shooting event this coming Saturday. And blow off some steam and have some shooting range fun. You'll enjoy yourself. You'll learn how to shoot. No previous experience required. You don't have to have a firearms ID card to go to an event at Bob's. They will show you the way, and you will learn a lot. It's really the first step on your journey towards self-defense and exercising your Second Amendment freedoms. I love Bob's Little Sports Shop. It's an honor that they endorse the show. It's an honor that they stand with me, and I hope you will stand with them. Just go to BobsLittleSportsShop.com to get all the details. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So, breaking news, of course, if you're just joining us, is that Ryan Ruth, the now convicted would-be assassin of President Donald Trump, he is guilty on all five charges, and we will now await the jury's sentencing. And if they bring us anything, we will certainly bring it to you, so you won't miss a thing. Just a couple of thoughts for you with regards to Jimmy Kimmel Live. So in a statement yesterday, you know, Disney announced to be returning, and they said the following. Last Wednesday, we made the decision to suspend production on the show to avoid further inflaming a tense situation. At an emotional moment for our country is a decision we made because we felt some of the comments were ill-timed and thus insensitive. We have spent the last days having thoughtful conversations with Jimmy, and after those conversations, we reached the decision to return the show on Tuesday. Disney decided to suspend the show last week, as you know, after Sinclair and Nexstar pulled its airings. Now, Sinclair Broadcast Group announced it would preempt Kimmel's show when it returns tonight. They're holding firm to that. And same with Nexstar as well. Now, again, because of the FCC chairman inserting himself in places he doesn't need to be, people are going to assume that that's because they are trying to get a merger to go through. But that's not the case. I mean, Disney also needs the government to approve mergers if they want to expand. And I do not believe, and if this happens, then it would be incredibly problematic. I don't believe that there is pressure being put on the government here to silence Trump's critics, because I'll point again to the paramount example of Colbert and South Park, which is the most anti-Trump show on television, getting $1.5 billion and no threats by the government, no intimidation by the government to cancel that show. So there you go. I think it's the best example I can give you. But the real question will be tonight whether or not he gets a big audience, and then he probably people will tune in at least at the beginning to see what he has to say. There'll be some curiosity around that. We'll see if it lasts. I don't know. But that said, the FCC chairman should stop tweeting, stop talking, just go away. Let the free market figure this out. You're not the TV and radio police. That's not why the FCC was established. And with that in mind, it is now time to end the FCC altogether and just let the marketplace decide. There are more people creating content who are not under the guise of government regulation than there are. If the airwaves belong to the people, then put them up for auction and let the people bid them out. And if the airwaves belong to the people, then we, the people, will sort it out. We don't need government there to figure things out for us. I mean, if we're conservatives, if we're free market believers, then the free market will settle all matters. I mean, the founders did not create the republic. We did not fight a war so that we could have government regulators. That was never what the war was about. You know, we didn't create the republic so that we could have government regulators. Just bear that in mind. We've just all become so used to them, we think we can't imagine life without them. All right, quick break coming right back. 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Breaking news all around. What did the president say to the UN? Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.